by See You at the Show, which is coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfability Freakout at 6 p.m., Alter Ego in the evening at 7 p.m., Roots Rock and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Freeform Music at 10 p.m. All right, that gets me fired up every time. Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and you're listening to our weekly exploration of all things related to community theater in Champaign, Illinois. What See You at the Show aims to accomplish is to be agnostic and neutral between the wonderful theater groups we have in this area, and just be a centralized source of enthusiasm and information, both for the theater community itself, but also for the vast appreciating audience and potential audience all around us. As this show develops and finds its footing, we'll definitely morph, evolve, and hopefully improve and grow. And I really appreciate the feedback we got after last week's first show and the enthusiasm and suggestions. And I hope to get continued and furthered input and collaboration from you, the CU Theater family, both for suggestions as to how we can best serve the community, but also for topics and news about events and opportunities. We have our website is up at seeyouattheshow.com, and you can also find us on Facebook. You can follow us on Facebook, which would be great. That's where we send most of our updates out. And you can email me at eric@seeyouattheshow.com or seeyouattheshow@gmail.com. Today in the studio with me, we have two guests. We have Katie Procise, who is here to talk about Stupid Effing Bird, which is opening at the Station Theater tonight. Hey, Katie.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Great.
And we also have Jeff Dare, who is the musical director at Edison Middle School and also is going to be directing Wizard of Oz for CUTC this summer. How are you doing, Jeff?
I am great, and congratulations on your second show, Eric.
Well, congratulate me after the show. You can congratulate me on the first show, which I think went pretty well. We'll invariably have issues. And for instance, I don't even know if your mics were on. Could you hear yourselves talking?
No.
I can hear myself.
Yeah, now I can hear you great. So just, they were very witty in their introductions, and they're very excited to be here and told me what a great first show I had. So I'm very happy to have them here. So we're going to follow kind of our typical format. We have three parts with points of emphasis depending on who our featured guests are. Today they're Katie and Jeff. Last week we had a director and actor from a show. So we're going to cover what's now playing, what's coming soon, and also what audition opportunities are available. So at this point, we'll jump right into what is now playing.
It's a musical, and nothing's as amazing as a musical with song and dance.
That's right, there's a musical in town, people. As we talked about last week, Young Frankenstein is playing at Parkland, and you have one more weekend to see it. So we have shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Parkland. Friday and Saturday night shows are at 7:30, and Sundays at 3 p.m. I've seen it twice. And one of the hilarious lines in there is, "I only laughed once." And I promise you, you will laugh a lot more than once if you see this show. It's fantastic. See it. You have plenty of time to see the other shows, but this is the last chance you have to see Transylvania Mania and the wonderful cast and crew of Young Frankenstein at Parkland. Katie is here with me today to talk about the show that's opened at the Station Theater tonight at 7:30, Stupid Effing Bird. Now, we're saying effing, but the title actually is the word I can't say, which is interesting. And so we're going to really watch ourselves. In fact, they're probably, I think they might have called in FCC watchdogs just knowing what the subject matter of the show subject matter was here today. This is a show that's directed by Kay Holly, and there are going to be 13 shows between tonight and May 4th. So, Katie, you're assistant directing and stage managing for the show. What can you tell us about it?
All right, well, a good synopsis would be that Dev is in love with Mosh, and Mosh is in love with Khan, and Khan is in love with Nina, and Nina falls for Trigorin, who is currently with Emma. So no one's happy.
So you
and
have
no
to,
one loves who they should be loving.
So it's really important to get a program and try to make little and make little arrows before the show about how this is going to work. I was lucky enough to sit in yesterday on the final dress, which was clearly showed to me they were ready to open. It felt like a legit show, and I just loved it.
Thank
so,
you.
One thing that you didn't mention is that this is kind of a, do you call it an adaptation of Chekhov, Siegel, or is there another word to use?
I believe we've been calling it sort of an adaptation. It's sort of based on Chekhov.
Okay. and there are no secrets about that during the show.
No.
There's a picture of him.
There is. There's actually a reference to him in the play, and someone flips him the bird, and there's his 8x10 center stage.
Yes, there is.
He oversees everything on stage.
So the Seagull was written by Chekhov, in the, 120 years ago.
That sounds right. 19th century?
Yes, yeah. Very late 19th century. Mm-hmm. And they just made a movie about it last fall, I think it was, with some very high, like Annette Bening is in it. The Handmaid's Tale woman is in it. I can't remember her name, but it's loaded with wonderful talent. I watched it this week, and I thought that the play was a lot more interesting and a lot better.
When things are live in front of you, they tend to be a lot more interesting.
That's true. But I just, I feel as though it was a lot more lively, a lot more dramatic, a lot more funny.
This is a very funny play.
So do you, it is a very funny play. It's a dark play. Mm-hmm. But I expected it to be serious. I didn't expect to laugh so much. So why did I laugh so much?
I think
people are miserable.
I think when tragedy is happening to other people, it can be very, very funny. Especially when they don't find it funny at all.
Yeah. You know what? Nobody in the cast laughs.
No one is joking in that.
No.
Yeah, none of the characters are messing around. They really are very upset, and it's really funny, actually.
Yeah,
there's only one. There's one character who's kind of the. I've been calling him the Chandler Bing. He's just kind of sarcastic and kind of keeps emotions at arm's length until he doesn't, and then it's really striking. But
are you talking about Dev?
Yeah,
Eric Beckley.
Yeah, Eric Beckley, who I've known for quite a long time, and I've done some shows with his wife, Cara Marisi. And yeah, I'd say of all the characters, he's the only one who really. Dev is the only one who really jokes. But I think it's to kind of keep distance from pain and emotion and to make people like him, of course. And
right. Yeah. Well, in the movie that I watched, his character was nothing. It was very, very minor. Mm. And so it was interesting for me to see how developed it was. And I think it really helped. It helped Khan. Oh, so Khan is would you call him the lead? Would you call him the main character?
We call him the protagonist. Yeah, not necessarily the lead.
Right.
Jake Fava, who plays Khan, does carry a lot of the weight. There's a lot of text for him.
Right.
He has a lot to do.
I mean, it's a lot of emotional weight, too.
Yes,
tons. We got to stay away from spoilers. But he's
yeah,
got
I
some,
won't spoil, but he's got a lot
some,
of heavy.
He's got some very heavy stuff. And I haven't seen Jake before. I missed him. Everybody, when I mention his name, talks about Memphis. And Jeff, you directed Memphis, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so you know Jake. And I think that what I hear about him is how musically strong he was.
He was extremely musically strong in Memphis. I can't remember what his range was, but he was singing like high A's, high B flats, yeah. Which if you know about your music, that's a pretty good range for a tenor.
He's a strong tenor too. He's got a voice like an angel.
He absolutely does have a voice like an angel. One thing I really remember about him was how strong his sense of comedic timing was. He put on this character of Huey Calhoun in Memphis, and if you know about that character, he's kind of got this weird southern lilt to him, and he's like maybe sort of half drunk all the time. But Jake played that just absolutely beautifully. And then I've gotten to see him in some other things. One thing at Station, I think, last year. It was in Aliens, I think?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
the Aliens, I think.
Just to see him be able to play another character, to see his range was amazing.
Yeah, well, you'll be wanting to hit the station.
You'll definitely want to see
this.
And stupid effing bird, because it is mental and emotional backflips he does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just scene to scene, I mean moment to moment. Turns on a dime. He's very skilled.
And if you're a fan of Memphis, or you just want to hear Jake sing, get there early, because I believe if what happens in the future is what happened last night, he and Hannah are just kind of chilling.
Yeah,
on
we
the
sort
stage.
Of hang out a little bit before the show, checking props, talking, kind of warming up people, warming up their voices.
Well, I saw some.
Yeah,
I
and
heard
they got
some
to do
nice harmonies with those two last night, and so.
So we had to show off his voice, even though this isn't a musical.
Well, Hannah does get to sing a decent.
She does.
Amount.
It's actually a pretty big part of the character is that she sings and plays the ukulele.
And so her name is Mosh, mm-hmm. And she is. A ukulele player. I guess mm-hmm. did she have that skill coming in?
Yeah, she did. And actually, when she did Mamma Mia at the station
just
a little while ago, she played, I want to say, guitar.
I recall that.
Yeah, she
with
did
one
play
of
guitar.
Her dads
yes.
also played the guitar.
Yes. And so she, and I mean, they're not the same, but they are similar, and she can play both. So
one of the neat things I think about her character is right away you're like, oh my God, this is the same woman. In the same sort of beach setting with a pier, and
I
it
thought
is,
of that too.
It is somebody who has gone through some stuff.
Yeah,
since
Mamma
we last
Mia
saw
is
her.
A very different have, tone.
Yeah,
that character's very upbeat and youthful and full of hope and love, and this character's full of love.
Yeah,
but also a lot of anger.
Let's take a minute and hear what she sounds like. This is from the Stupid Effing Bird trailer.
To know the reasons why you breathe and then you don't, you just begun, you're hot, you rot, and then you're done. So what's the part of this that's fun? Life is a muddle, life is a chore, life is a burden, life is a bore. This apple is rotten right down to its core.
So yeah, that's kind of the uplifting vibe that we get from the show.
But that is funny. It is.
It is.
The upbeat, plinky ukulele in juxtaposition with those words. That is funny.
Right.
I mean, it just is.
It is funny.
And she's got another one that's even more bleak and even funnier.
So you mentioned kind of not the love triangle, but I guess it's, I don't know, a rhombus or a hexagon. I don't, do you teach
it's
math,
it's sort of
Jeff?
A hexagon, yeah. There's nope, some a... love that is reciprocated, but only temporarily. I won't give away who between whom. But
is that love or something else?
Something like it.
Yeah.
It was one of the characters says, there's so much love in this house, or at least what passes for it.
Right. Well, and that's, I think, one of the cool and interesting things about the show is that it is, it doesn't just examine love, it examines life a lot. And I think what a human being wants out of life, and it's sort of existential in that way, because it explores what the meaning is and what you should be, and whether you accept like a contentedness or whether that's not enough. There's an ultimate pursuit that you must reach for.
Right. Some of them have very lofty goals and some are like, I just want someone to hold me.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. Simple. Not easy, but right. Simple.
Well, especially not easy when it's a particular person.
Right.
You could probably find somebody.
Not just anybody. Yeah, right. You. Exactly.
So let's talk about the name, because when I first heard that it was Stupid Effing Bird, I figured, okay, this is like way in left field. It probably isn't my thing. And how is it going to play at the station when there's, you know, kind of like a kind of a regular group of audience people who come to the shows?
Right.
And I, but
they have certain expectations for that space, I think, some of the longtime patrons.
Right. And they're going to love the show.
Yes.
However,
because it's a classic. It really is.
Where does this name come from?
It's one of the lines in the show. It might be as simple as that. I mean, I don't know if the playwright had anything else in mind first, or they, yeah.
Well, here's my theory. Because this is based on this, okay, so there's the seagull.
Right.
And so this is high art. The seagull's beautiful, white, soaring. And mm-hmm. But if you're, if you have a bleak outlook on life, when you see that beautiful white seagull, you see a stupid effing bird.
And he does say that at some point.
Really? I stole that from him? I didn't even come up with that myself.
It is a line. I mean, he doesn't, not exactly the way you just said it, okay. But that is one of his lines. She's like, what kind of bird is it? And he just says, just some stupid effing bird.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if the playwright did that intentionally or just ran out of ideas. I like it. I think it's a great title. I think it grabs attention. I love our poster. If anyone out there has seen it, it's got bird poop on the U and the C.
Well, like we were talking about.
So it looks really great.
Well, one of the things we were talking about last night when we were joking about how to talk about the show today is instead of saying effing, if I could, and I actually did look for a seagull sound effect so that every time we were about to say
a squawk.
Effing, we'd hear. And that would be like our sensor thing.
I would have
loved that. I did try, but I didn't want to rely on more technology
more
and tricks. Then we've gotten a couple things to work, a couple things not to work. So I'm pleased with that. We should also just talk about the rest of the cast before we move on, because it is, I mean, what I consider to be is, especially in local theater and definitely in like station lore, this is an all-star cast.
Yes.
Joy Hofsommer as Emma, Gary Ambler as Trigorin. We've already mentioned Hannah and Eric and Bill Kephart, who does a lot of movies. Haven't seen him on stage that much. Usually it's in like character, like really extreme character kind of roles.
Yeah, he
him.
Did American Wee Pie, what was it, one year ago?
Yeah, maybe 2 years ago.
I lose track of time. I really do.
And Lindsay Gates Markle is fantastic as
And she was
Nina.
Just in the Dollhouse, too. And she plays Nina in Stupid Effing Bird. I believe she and Gary got one day off.
Because they
then
were both
we started
in
rehearsals.
Dolls House, too, with Rick Orr.
Yeah. And, and then we started rehearsals for Bird.
Right.
I believe we gave them Sunday off, and then we threw them right back into the fire.
One of the things that was interesting, so the fourth wall's down for this whole show. I mean, it's okay for the crowd to know.
I mean,
that,
throughout,
it?
I wouldn't say for the whole show, but throughout.
Well, I guess you need to. Like, I've been thinking afterwards: was it down the whole time or not? And
that's
we'll leave that for,
complicated
for you
question.
To figure out. But but I was like reading up on the show, and it apparently came up because Posner was with a whole bunch of his buddies doing some acting thing. And somebody looked around the room and he said, you know what? We kind of have like an interesting seagull cast here with us. And so he just kind of said, well, I'm going to write it then for us, for him and his buddies.
That's the best way to do anything.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then
it's just me and my buddies.
And then somebody heard about it and they said, come upstate and put it on. So they had like a week to polish it up. And so I think that's maybe why there is the fourth wall stuff and it's fantastic. And Posner has his name. I think it's kind of in the title, right? It's one of those things like Mary Stokely's Dracula or something like that, right? Because it's stupid fuck, it's stupid effing bird. I stopped.
I did.
You heard the seagull, right? By Aaron Posner. And so usually the name of
instead
the writer
of like Anton
is not
Chekhov's
right in there.
The seagull.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that's why he's doing it. But anyway, I thought there was it felt kind of autobiographical. And one thing that's further weird is that Posner looks a lot like Jake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that when I pulled him up today, that kind of freaked me out.
And I mean, the character Khan does talk about how he has written this play.
Right.
And talks to the audience about this play. So. And he does say, you know, this play's not original. I mean, it's just whatever I was thinking about at the time. So that might be Posner kind of coming through and speaking through that line. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of layers to it, but it's not inaccessible. You can still watch it and understand it and still have a great time with
it's
it.
It's so cool. But the thing is you probably want to see it fast because I really think, and I know I said this about Young Frankenstein, so I'm losing my credibility, but I really think it's the show you got to see twice. Because just like when I watched Memento backwards and I was like, oh, I can't wait to watch that again, kind of knowing what happens, I want to see this again.
There's
kind
a
of
lot.
Knowing what happens.
Yeah.
And so.
And you do find little moments. I actually got to watch the show on Wednesday because as the stage manager, I'm on book, which means I'm checking everybody's lines and making sure. But also as an assistant director, I also do have some artistic input.
Right.
So, which is very hard to do when you have your eyes on a book. So on Wednesday, I mean, I don't give line notes by then because we're done.
Yep.
You know, we're opening. I don't have anything else to give you. So I got to actually watch the show for the first time from beginning to end. It was wonderful.
All right. Well, we're here at WFT with See You at the Show. And that was Katie Procise. We've been talking about Stupid Effing Bird at the Station Theater. See it starting tonight. We've got 13 shows over the next 3 weekends. And let's move on to segment 2. Auditions.
Friend, I'm watching Cisco pit-a-pat. Said, I can do that. I can do that.
So if you think you can do that, here are some opportunities for you. If you're a youth and you're interested in some theater this summer, the Urbana Park District Youth Summer Theater is having auditions for Into the Woods April 19th through the 22nd. That means tomorrow. So go to UPD Facebook page for more information on that. Now, the main reason that I have Jeff here in the studio with me is because it's very exciting. It was just actually announced last week right as we were about to go on air, and it even threw me off a little bit. Auditions for CUTC Wizard of Oz are coming up in like 10 days, right?
That's right, like about a week and a half.
Okay. And Jeff, you're going to be directing this, correct?
Yeah.
All right. What is you've directed other shows? What else have you directed in Champaign?
Last year I directed Memphis on the
Parkland stage. About that, right?
We were talking about. The last time was directing for the Virginia Theater was with Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat that we did there 2 years ago on the Virginia stage with the CUTC, and that was a lot of fun. Back before that, I was in Peoria for a while. Before that, I was in Champaign again. I directed Avenue Q with CUTC back in their risky days.
I remember that.
But all this, of course, is leaving out the great work that you've done at Edison Middle School, also directing there, coming off of a tremendous Freaky Friday run.
Oh, yeah. We did Freaky Friday, the one-act version of Freaky Friday, which was a new musical based on the Disney made-for-TV musical movie based on the movie with Lindsay Lohan based on the book. Right.
And based on the movie even before Lindsay Lohan Tatum O'Neill.
So it's a musical based on the movie based on the movie based on the book.
Not that I did extra research, but my kid was in the Freaky Friday that the Champaign Park District did almost simultaneously, draining the talent from both of your shows. So the auditions are coming up on the 27th to 28th. This is mixing students or kids and adults, is that right?
That's right. We did that with Joseph too. So we'll have a children's chorus of kids who are between about 8 and 11, and then we'll also have an ensemble of adults to build out the cast.
So none of the major roles are going to be cast with kids.
If you're a kid from 8 to 11, you have the opportunity to be part of the Munchkins and part of the Flying Monkeys. As part of that, there's kind of lots of solo opportunities for the Munchkins.
Great.
Like you got the mayor and the coroner and the Lollipop Guild.
Right.
Best parts. So honestly.
So are the if I wanted to find out about the roles that are available, how would I do that?
Well, we've got audition information posted on the new CUTC website, which is cutheaterco.org. That's theater with an R-E on the end. And there is audition information posted there, including a link to some of the great resources around about what characters are involved and what the vocal ranges are, for instance.
Okay. And the what should somebody prepare for if they're interested in being in the show? How would they best prepare?
Adults have auditions. They've signed up for an individual time slot where everyone sings a song and has a monologue. And kids also have an individual slot where they would sing a song. And then we also have dance auditions kind of in the middle of the day on Saturday.
That's great. I actually saw some of the readings for adults, and they look kind of fun. If we had extra time, I was going to challenge Katie to do one spontaneously, and I was going to do one myself. I wanted to do the wolf. The wolf seemed really, that seemed like a great one.
Yeah, I picked some kind of out there monologues, I think, for this one, just because I wanted to see what people could do. The characters from The Wizard of Oz are sort of, I guess I would call them sort of cartoonish or caricature-ish. They're from that children's story model, so they want to be, I think, a little more performative, I guess. And so we want to see what people can do with those kinds of characters.
And you said that this is going to be the version of the show that's very true to the original, the movie.
Yeah.
So the script is the movie one, not the 2010 Andrew Lloyd Webber and
adaptation.
Right.
So this is the Royal Shakespeare Company version of The Wizard of Oz, which came out in the original movie was in 1939. So this is the 80th anniversary.
Hey, make t-shirts.
Yeah, we should.
That was actually the first show I did. It was Urbana Park District, 1993 summer, The Wizard of Oz,
and
I
was
a Munchkin.
Katie? Oh.
And I had an upside down spray painted flower pot on my head. And flowers came out of my purple kids, my shoes.
Well, so really bookending that and auditioning in
audition.
2 weeks.
It will change
because
your
life.
Because
we need to see you back. No, we want to see you back on the stage. It's been a long time.
I did a Small Mouth Sounds, I think it was a year and a half ago. No.
Right.
No, it was just this past fall. I have a 3-year-old. I have no real concept of time. I'm sorry. Yeah, just this past fall, I was on stage, and before that, it had been a couple of years.
I can relate to having those little kids at home. My two boys are 7 and 9, and I have to get permission from them and from my wife in order to do any kind of show. That's the first stop I make.
Right.
My husband and I negotiate.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He was in a show last fall.
Negotiate and alternate. Yeah.
He was in a show last fall. I got the fall before that.
Well, you know, we should do a whole segment. Like, remind me about this. We should do a whole segment on family theater existence. And when both spouse, is it good that both spouses are in theater, or is that bad? And is, I don't know. I think there are a lot of questions about kids.
Yeah.
And then like, so yeah, because I think my obligations to my kid and his theater career hurt kind of my own opportunities. So,
yeah.
Sure.
So I guess half hour a day and I can say I'm.
No. My kid has a career in front of her. I can see it.
Absolutely.
She will be on stage for
Eric,
sure.
We did want to mention one thing. Next weekend when we have auditions is the Illinois Marathon. And so parking might be a little tricky. We've tried to arrange our time slots so that we try to avoid that. But just something to think ahead
of. I think there's information about that online also.
There is. Yep. CUtheaterco.org.
Okay. Well, this has been episode 2 of See You at the Show. Like I said, you can please visit our Facebook page and follow us. CUattheshow.com. Also, we'll have information on what's showing, what's coming, how to get involved, and please send me your ideas. And if you have any interest in being on the show or giving us ideas for content, let us know. And I will send you out with some of the music from Wizard of Oz, The Jitterbug, which song I didn't know, but here we go.
Did you just hear what I just heard? don't come from an ordinary bird.
It may be just a cricket or a critter in the trees.
It's given me the jitters and the joints around the knees.
I think I see a jitter and it's fuzzy and it's furry.
I haven't got a brain, but I think I ought to worry.
I haven't got a heart, but I feel a palpitation.
As man, I got a forest and I don't like this situation.
Are you gonna stand around and let him fill us full of...